Hello, everyone, and welcome to Therapy in a Nutshell. I'm Emma McAdam, a licensed marriage and family therapist, and this is the podcast where I condense mental health skills into bite-sized nuggets of help. Good morning, Internet. Today, I'm coming to you from my front yard herb garden, which has been overtaken by my ginormous rosemary bush and some leeks that I planted like 4 years ago. So, yeah, welcome to 2020, where every video is filmed in, like, some random location in my yard. Today, we're going to be talking about mental filtering, which is why you may only notice the bad things going on in your life. G-A-R-R-I-S-S-O-N. That is not how to spell Garrison. I'm going to remember this word forever because it's the word that I missed in the seventh grade spelling bee. I took second place in that prestigious event, but only because I added an extra S to Garrison. Do you do that? Do you hyper-focus on the one thing that went wrong? That one little mistake or that one mean comment on social media instead of the hundreds of things that go right or the hundreds of nice people out there who are putting positive things on my YouTube comments? This is called mental filtering. It's a cognitive distortion and it can make you anxious or depressed. So mental filtering is this thought distortion where we only see one aspect of a situation, usually the negative side of it when it comes to anxiety or depression. So you may focus on the negative and disregard or filter out all of the positive. It might look like picking out a single negative detail and just hyper-focusing on this instead of all the other things that are going on. So mental filtering sounds like, no one is going to like me, or I can never do anything right, or the world is a terrible place and it's getting worse every day. Or for example, like if you have a good day at work, but then the restaurant messes up your takeout, then your whole day is ruined. You obsess about the one question you got wrong on a test. I can still remember a review I had at work, it was probably like 10 years ago, where I got a piece of feedback that I needed to manage my stress levels better. Now, I'm sure that my boss had a half dozen nice things to say, but I don't remember any of them. That is mental filtering. The news is a great example of mental filtering. It mostly pays attention to the scary stories, like murder hornets, and it really just disregards most of the positive things that are going on. Mental filtering can help you fall out of love with your spouse when you only notice the bad things that they do. With mental filtering, we disregard, we minimize, we brush aside anything that doesn't fit our narrative. But because of the sneaky nature of cognitive distortions, we probably aren't going to notice that we're doing it. And that's because our perception creates our reality. On my video about the cognitive distortion catastrophizing, I get a lot of comments like, but catastrophizing is true when life is always terrible. Or people say, well, no, I'm not catastrophizing. Everything really is awful. I'm not imagining it. Excuse me. That is a cognitive distortion. Your thoughts are lying to you. Do you have hot running water? Do you have refrigeration? Do you have electric lights? Are you watching this video on the internet? Do you have the ability to read? If the answer is yes to any of these questions, then you have more luxury than kings and peasants for the last 99.9% of people in the history of the earth. Now, that is not to say that life isn't difficult. I'm sure that for many of you, life is incredibly painful and difficult things are happening and have happened to you. But everything isn't awful. Right? Acknowledging and being honest with your thoughts and your emotions is not the same as only sitting with the crappy ones. So seeing things clearly requires us to see both sides, the painful, the crappy, the difficult things, and also the positives. So the global pandemic and social distancing really are difficult. They're painful. And if you're watching this, you also have access to the internet, which is pretty miraculous if you look at the big picture history of the world. One of the reasons that I love to read archaeology is because it really broadens my perspective. It helps me appreciate the positive things that are happening in my life, even when it feels like the world is falling apart a little bit. So if you can't see anything positive, then your thoughts are lying to you. Mental filtering makes us more anxious. But anxiety also makes us mental filter more, because anxiety attunes our brain to threats. It makes it so that we're more likely to notice the bad that is happening. Mental filtering can also make us more depressed. When we only notice the bad, life is depressing. But when we feel crappy, when we feel depressed, we're more likely to mental filter. Now, even though mental filtering can cause depression and depression can cause mental filtering, we still have room for choice in our life. We can take intentional action to change how we think. But first, we have to realize why we're hanging on to the lies, what the distorted reality is doing for us. So mental filtering serves a dysfunctional function. Let me give you an example. So when a situation is actually dangerous, like for example, an abusive spouse, it can be helpful to forget any sweet moments with him or her to give you the courage to leave. So this is functional anxiety, right? Anxiety is supposed to help motivate us to leave dangerous situations. And in that situation, mental filtering might help us forget the positive things so that we are firm enough in our decision to leave that dangerous situation. But when we have disordered anxiety, the world feels dangerous when it's actually safe. Our anxious or our depressed view is exaggerated, and this can make us sick. So when I only notice the bad things on my performance review, suddenly my boss feels threatening and dangerous when he's really just trying to help me improve. Now, my boss actually was trying to help me improve. He was a good-hearted man. One of the difficulties of working with thoughts is trying to figure out which ones are helpful and which ones are true and which ones aren't. So some bosses actually are quite threatening, and you're better off changing your employment if you can. But in other situations, you're better off changing how you think and how you see the world. But it's just important that we try to do this with as clear of a head as possible. So I mean, get good at noticing your thoughts and challenging your thoughts. You don't have to believe everything that you think. And then after you've noticed them, you can choose which ones are most helpful for your life purpose. And to do this, we really have to realize why mental filtering, with all of its downsides, actually feels good in the short term. So let me give you a couple of examples of when mental filtering feels good in the short term. So let's say you start to notice all the annoying and frustrating things that your boss does. So have you ever just reveled in a conversation with a coworker where you're like, oh my gosh, I hate him. He's so terrible. I mean, I have. I wish I could say that I hadn't, but I have. And it feels good to talk about all the bad things that your boss is doing and completely disregard all the positive things that your boss is doing, because this can justify you in, you know, excusing you from working hard or trying hard. Mental filtering justifies us in hating our boss and excusing ourselves from not working hard. Or, on the other hand, mental filtering might only select and highlight our own mistakes and flaws, convincing ourselves that we are bad and that we're incurably broken, thus justifying ourselves in not trying hard. That can also feel good, to wallow in your own brokenness. See how terrible of a person that I am? Well, there's nothing I can do about it because I'm just that bad. Right? Most of the time, we think of mental filtering as only seeing the bad, because that's when it's associated with anxiety and depression. But mental filtering can go both ways. When we tend to only see the bad in the world or in ourselves, we tend to be anxious or depressed or self-loathing. But mental filtering can go the opposite way too. So for example, a narcissist may only see the good in herself, putting others down to lift herself up. Mental filtering can make us depressed or anxious, but the big lie is it makes us think that that's how reality is, instead of it being our perception. And that excuses us in staying there. Mental filtering creates divides. It makes us see only the best in our political candidate and only the worst in the other candidate. The other side becomes a terrible, horrible, anti-patriotic, you know, group of people. And our own side's flaws are minimized or pushed aside or ignored. And this feels good to be on the right team. But in the long run, it makes things worse. Mental filtering feels so good, but only for a short while. And then it can make you depressed and anxious in the long run. So how can we change? We can all combat mental filtering through conscious practice. Is the glass half full or half empty? Well, actually, it's neither. It's half full of water and it's half full of air. We can choose to combat mental filtering by slowing down and trying to see both sides of situations. This is a skill of attention. It's about where you put your focus. We can combat mental filtering not only by thinking of the positive, but by being intentional instead of reactionary or emotional. So first, it's important to start noticing when you're doing it. So what does it look like when you are mental filtering? And then try to see what function it serves for you. And then take a deep breath, slow down, try to put yourself in a place that feels safe or calm. And when you've calmed yourself down just a little bit, you've gotten a little bit of perspective, then you can start to counteract that mental filter by expanding your perspective. So here's a few ways that you can do that. The first, and for me the easiest way, is to bring to mind gratitude. Another thing that's important is to let yourself sit with a compliment. I think a lot of people just brush compliments off very quickly, but they hold on tightly to criticism. So give yourself credit for the good that you do. And if someone compliments you, say thank you and try to take it in. Make a daily habit of seeing the good that you do. Don't just suppress your wins. So many people with depression or anxiety, they don't notice the positive things that they do. I use a daily journal template to write down 3 of my wins each day, and also to write down 1 to 2 things I'd like to improve tomorrow. And these wins don't have to be huge, massive accomplishments. They can be things as simple as, you know, getting out of bed and taking a shower. Just acknowledging that you were able to accomplish a couple things can help reinforce that dopamine in your brain, that motivation, and also combat that mental filter where you only notice, you know, the things you aren't doing. Another thing that can help is to look around you and see if you can find someone who seems to see the world clearly. This could be a friend, a therapist, or a parent. And just consider including their perspective into how you decide to see the world. Also, I really encourage you to choose media sources that don't use extremes, that don't use emotional reasoning or labeling people or only telling one side of the story. You know, also just try countering these automatic negative thoughts that pop up. Try countering them with a positive thought. Another thing that's helpful is to, you know, practice training yourself to intentionally look to understand both sides of a story and to see other people as multifaceted human beings instead of labels and all or nothing. So, for example, I recently read a book about a man who cheated on his wife, and it was from his perspective, and it helped me gain a little bit more understanding of how someone could get into that situation. Now, that's not to say that that behavior... Oh gosh, my sprinklers just came on. Okay, that was fun. I'm gonna go over here by the trash cans because that's the last place in my yard that seems safe. Oh man. Okay, so I was talking about this guy who cheated on his wife, and I'm not trying to excuse his behavior, but understanding his perspective helped me be a little more empathetic. And, you know, in this instance, he had been through some trauma and he had developed a sexual addiction as a way to cope with that trauma. Again, no excuses, but help me understand him as a multifaceted human being. Okay, where am I going to finish this? We'll just sit in the corner by the fence and hopefully the sprinklers don't get me. Okay. Okay, a couple last tips, right? Look for ways to take a bigger perspective. Look at how this one instance in your life, like, you know, the restaurant ruining your takeout or whatever, look at how this fits into the big scheme of things. Is this going to matter in a year? Is this going to matter in 5 years? And if not, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. Another thing that's helpful is, you know, taking a bigger perspective is look at others' lives around the world. So when I was a teenager, I lived in Russia and I lived in the West Bank. And later on, I lived in Argentina. And living in these different countries helped me gain a different perspective on my relative prosperity. And, you know, reading about history and reading about the lives of other people throughout the world can help broaden your perspective on your own situation. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So you really can change your perception of reality. You can change how you experience the world by changing how you see the world. So don't let mental filtering control you. You can choose which thoughts you're going to listen to and which ones you're going to disregard. I hope you found this video helpful. Thank you for watching, and take care. This podcast was adapted from a YouTube video from my YouTube channel, Therapy in a Nutshell. So if you'd like to see more of my videos, check that out and go subscribe on YouTube. Also, you can sign up for my newsletter at www.therapynutshell.com.
Thank you for listening, and take care.